knowing that it was for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You cannot understand. You cannot go anywhere else with Isaiah 53 but to the cross and to the truth and this doctrine of substitution. But today I want to move on a little. I want to come to another key word, and I would love it if you write this all over Isaiah 53. Just take a pen and write it over the whole page, or at the side of the page, or the top of the page, or maybe you don't like to write in your Bible and you put a little note in there. Sticky notes are great if they're not too sticky. And you can write on it this word, satisfaction. Satisfaction. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we're moving on in Isaiah chapter 53. And I hope that this Easter message, the message of Christ's death, is sinking into your heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I trust that as we have been digging into this chapter, word by word, statement by statement, laying out the precious doctrines of the gospel, that the Lord is laying upon you an understanding, giving you an insight into the meaning of Jesus' death on that cruel cross. And so my prayer is that we get to the cross today, and that the Lord's word be a word of life and salvation. Let me read here from verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And here is the Father striking his own son, God as the judge condemning the Redeemer because he's identified with the sin of his people. All of these things are laid out for us here in Isaiah chapter 53, and my prayer is that this will become the message and the very delight of your own soul. So let's unite in prayer. We'll ask God to bless his word. Father, we thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for these messages right here in Isaiah 53, and we pray today that that word will be a word of life and liberty and blessing to each and every hearer. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains our Lord Jesus had to bear on that cruel cross, but we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered loss. And oh God, we pray that you'll make us a gospel-minded people, to take it in what the Lord has done for our souls. This we pray and ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Back to Isaiah 53 and moving on a little bit in this passage. I hope that you have still fresh in your mind the whole doctrine of substitution and the blessed and sweet message that we can say from the Scripture with great authority. Yes, it's true. It's absolutely true that when the Lord Jesus was on that cross and when he was hanging there, suffocating unto death, and the darkness came down, and God punished his son, bruising him, as Isaiah says, which really means shredding and shattering his own son, pouring out the fullness of divine wrath upon the body of the Lord Jesus, that he stood in my place as my lamb, my substitute. And God undertook and was pleased to pour out whatever was due to me for my sin to fall upon the person of the Lord Jesus. Now, you just can't read Isaiah 53 with any interest without knowing that it was for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You cannot understand, you cannot go anywhere else with Isaiah 53 but to the cross and to the truth and this doctrine of substitution. But today I want to move on a little. I want to come to another key word, and I would love it if you write this all over Isaiah 53. Just take a pen and write it over the whole page, or at the side of the page, or the top of the page, or maybe you don't like to write in your Bible and you put a little note in there. Sticky notes are great if they're not too sticky. And you can write on it this word, satisfaction, satisfaction. And so on top of, this is another layer of with the word substitution, that when Jesus died on the cross, he was there to make satisfaction. And I want to take that great doctrine, that this great truth of the gospel, of the penal sufferings, the judicial nature of Jesus' death when he was suffering on that cross in our place. Now, where do we get it? Well, let's look at Isaiah 53 and verse 7. And it says, he was oppressed. The word there simply means exacted. God exacted off the Lord Jesus. As I look at the word exacted, I got to think about the word excise. And you know that word in the tax realm. The tax man comes after you. He has the right, the legal authority to take a cut, to excise a portion of your income and pay it in the form of taxes. It is exacted of you. And you can say, well, let's talk about it. Can we lower the rate? No, it's the law. You are legally bound. It is demanded of you that you pay your share, your portion of taxes according to the law. There's no way out of it. You'd have to go to the rewrite the Constitution. You'd have to rewrite the law. You'd have to get your politician to go to Parliament and have the whole law changed if you want out of paying your share of taxes. Now, when it says here in Isaiah 53:7 that he was oppressed, that means that God Jehovah demanded of his own son payment. Payment was fully demanded of him. Now, this is altogether important to really get a handle on the gospel. Let me say to you, it's the thing that's denied by liberalism and modernism today. The majority of what is preaching called gospel today does not even touch this doctrine of satisfaction, that Jesus had to pay a demanded payment, and that God, out of law and out of justice, required of his son, it was not optional, it had to be paid in full. There was no other way. And this aspect of the gospel is either totally neglected or denied in many quarters, because they say, well, God's not like that. God is not so sticky and so stubborn and so demanding. God is a God of love. But it was love that sent our Lord Jesus to the cross, and that God in love was pleased to accept a substitute to pay this price in our place. And so the moment that Jesus became our surety to stand in our place, and he was making payment for us, God said, now I'm going to demand of you, I'm going to exact of you, and I'm going to oppress you, that you will bring forth this full, absolute payment, so that justice is done and God, therefore, is satisfied. Now, I have an illustration I use over the years on this one that's certainly helpful, and I know not everybody here has heard this, and if you've heard it before, I hope this will be a good reminder. Can you imagine let's say a Sunday morning? I get up in the morning in a bit of a demand on me. I must get out on time. Sunday school, the hour is approaching, and I must get out and I must be on time. And I've got all these things in my head that I'm going to teach and preach about. And I jump into my car and start it up and reverse it out. And lo and behold, I bang
into my neighbor's car. What a terrible start to the day. And I feel the jolt in the vehicle, and I hear the clanging of metal and the shattering of glass. And I say, oh boy, what have I done? What have I done? And I get out of the car and I sort of take stock of the damage. And oh boy, it's all beat up. And my neighbor's nice, shiny car that he's so proud of, what am I going to tell him? And so I have to do the honest thing, and I go to his door, and I can't go to church to preach and leave the issue hanging. I've got to go to his door and say to him, I'm really, really sorry, but I have to tell you, I just backed into your car and damaged it. And you can imagine the look I get. And he's not going to be very happy. And so he comes out, and he's pulling his hair out looking at this damage on his new car. And I say to him, I'm really, really sorry about this. This is just the last thing I would ever in the world want to happen. And I certainly don't want it to become something between us here. I'm really, really, really sorry. But you see, sorry doesn't put it all right. I then have to not only confess up to what I've done, I have to say to him, look, I'll take care of it. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes to put this right, I will take the invoice, the bill. And so he accepts that, and neighbors, we hopefully don't have to write out anything as some IOU promise. We can take each other at our word, and he says, okay, well, I'll arrange the fixing of it, and as long as you pay for it, that's fine. And so the car goes into the shop for a week or two, and it comes back, it's all fixed, and my neighbor arrives at my door, and he knocks, and he's got an envelope, and of course he's got the bill in his hand. And now, there's the proof of how this is going to go. Are we going to be good neighbors and men of our word and do the right thing now? If I close the door and say, sorry, I just have nothing more to do with this. Well, boy, there's a major issue. But if I undertake to pay the bill in total, whatever it is, and of course I can't wait to open that envelope to figure out what the bottom figure is. And if it's 1,000 or 2,000, and it doesn't take much damage to cause $1,000 worth in a car, and I look at it and I might say, well, that surprises me, the size of this, but my word's my word. I've got to pay the bill. And so I write him a check there and then, and I put it in the envelope. I write his name in the check and the figure in, and I sign it off, and there it is, and I give him the envelope. And now I've got to ask him, are you happy? Are you satisfied? That's the word. And I, will you please tell me that you're satisfied? And so, with a smile on his face, with that check in his hand, he said, with this payment, I am satisfied. And the issue's dealt with. So that means I can talk to him over the fence anytime and talk about daffodils or any other issue, and there's not a thing between us. It's all settled because he said it himself that he is satisfied. Now you may say, what has that got to do with preaching the cross? What has that got to do with my salvation? Well, it has everything to do. You see, it's not enough to say sorry. It's not enough to put on a long face and say, but this is terrible. That's not enough. You've got to make payment, and it's got to be full payment. And when our Lord Jesus undertook to be our surety, our Savior, standing in our place, when he became the Redeemer of his people, and if you go down to verse 8, you'll notice this is about a certain people, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And so you can see this, the Lord Jesus stands in the place of a people. And he's going to take their guilt, he's going to take their wrongdoing, all the damage that they have done against the law of God, and he's going to pay the price for their wrongdoing. And so, this is the whole issue of making satisfaction. Now, understanding this and knowing what Christ did in the cross is the difference between the believer who can say, I'm now saved, and I'm sure of it, and the person who will say, well, Jesus paid that part, I've now got to pay my part. What a tragic ending to the whole gospel that would be. And let me tell you, that's the common thinking even amongst Christianity and even amongst some evangelical people. Christ did his part. I've now got to pay my part. I've now got to make up the rest and bring some satisfaction to God. And so people go about saying, God's not happy with me. God's not satisfied with me. God's not at peace with me. And I've got to do more to please him. And it's like me saying to my neighbor, sorry, but not paying the bill. And then every time I go out into the garden, I look to see if my neighbor's around. And if he's in the backyard, I won't go out because I don't want to face him. I know he's angry with me. I know that he's not satisfied with what I've done. And there's an offense caused, and there's a division between us. And there's no peace between us. And who, dear knows what he's saying about me to the other neighbors. And you've got a whole problem in your life because you've got a bill that's not paid. And likewise, when it comes to our relationship with a holy God, the God of grace, the God of glory, if the bill is not paid in full, then we are not saved in full. And we still have to do something or other to continue on making satisfaction to a demanding God who requires full payment for the damage of sin. And you can think of that car accident, like sin entering the world and sin entering my heart and sin practiced by me against God. I've offended him. I've harmed him and done awful, awful damage. And so the gospel is based on this, that Christ stepped in and not only was he my substitute representing me, but that he made absolute, full, perfect satisfaction to God the Father. And in theological terms, he expiated or he turned away the wrath of God that was due to me. So that God who was offended because of my sin, God who was filled of anger and demanding payment from me, the Lord Jesus has stepped in and he's by paying the price, he has now turned away the whole wrath of God, and God now smiles upon his people. And our worship and our prayers and our walk with him now brings pleasure to him. And we can go into God's presence accepted in the Beloved. We have complete friendship. We have a wonderful relationship. And just as when you pay the bill and the neighbor says to you, I'm satisfied, it's all over, don't worry about it anymore, just forget about it now, it's done. Of course, I got to make sure there's enough money in the bank to pay the money, and I've got to deal with all that in the background, but at least now there's nothing between me and my neighbor. And when I'm driving up the street, I don't have to worry about meeting him. Indeed, I can go over and say, look, I need to borrow something today. Could you imagine damaging his car and going the next day to ask to borrow something if you weren't willing to pay the price? The only way to have good relations and have real friendship is to have full satisfaction. And we need to understand that if we're going to walk with God, if we're going to enter into God's presence, into his courts, in daily prayer and communion and church, but also into heaven. If we're ever going to enter heaven, there has to be complete satisfaction rendered for all of our sins, so there is absolutely nothing between my soul and my God. I simply want to preach to you today five simple points on the satisfaction of the Lord Jesus, that he met the requirements of full payment. Now, don't worry about me being too long, because this is only the first point of the sermon. Points 2 and 3 will be next week. I'm only going to give you point 1, under which there are 5 headings. Here's 1. Full payment was required of Christ because he was the surety of his people. Now, go back to chapter 52, verse 12, and you will notice here that he is referred to, verse 13 rather, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Here is the Lord Jesus taking on the role of representing his people, serving God for his people. He becomes the servant of God. And he steps into this role of representing his people as their surety. He's now the representative man. And he takes on him the obligations of all of the elect of God, all the chosen of God, all whom God will ever save, and all whom the Father will give to his Son. Jesus becomes their legal representative standing in their place. And that's why 53 verse 8, at the end of the verse, it says that for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And so the Lord is the representative of a people, God's people, all whom the Father would save from their sins, and he did stand in their stead. And that was the whole reason why he was set to go to the cross. That's why he came into this world and took a body, lived perfectly, and voluntarily went to the cross.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and the darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Well, there's the message of the gospel for today, and I trust that it has been a word that has come home to your own heart. The doctrine of satisfaction, as I illustrated it there with the damage of my neighbor's car and me having to pay the bill, I hope that that goes a long way to let it sink in, that the gospel is not just a cop-out or a wash-over or a brushing under the mat. It is a real transaction conducted by God the Son with God the Father, so that Jesus offers up his blood as the price, and God the Father accepts it as satisfaction for the wrong done by the people for whom Jesus died. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you can say that Christ took your payment and he fulfilled every obligation concerning your guilt and concerning your condemnation. And that is the good news of the gospel. And it is a real transaction. It's not just something that's hairy-fairy. It is something that is real in the mind of God, and it's real in the history of the world, because in AD 33, there was a real person who died on a real cross, who offered up a real sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God, dying, suffering in our place. And therefore, it is real payment which God has really accepted. And the very fact that God now has raised his Son from the tomb, from the dead, and brought him into glory, seating him at his right hand, there is acceptance with God that it is all paid for. And so this is the good news of the gospel, that I can tell you today that if you believe in the Lord Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior, you will be free from all condemnation. And as Paul said in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, are you interested in this gospel? Are you a believer on the Son of God? You cannot call yourself a Christian until the transaction takes place. Now, the transaction has already taken place between Christ and the Father, but it also needs to take place in your heart. You've got to also now accept the payment that Jesus made and plead that sacrifice before God, and then you are saved. And so go to the Bible, and you can go to such texts as Romans 10, verse 8. If you believe in thine heart that God hath raised his Son from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's the gospel. And I invite you to believe, to confess, and to come as a sinner to Jesus today. Will you do that? Please come. I beg of you to be right with God today. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.